be a Berean. So important. They believed or believing. It's giving credit to, you know, this is the mind and the heart of God. It's a mental persuasion and a confidence in the Word of God because they had it. They didn't have the whole of it, but they just had some of it. And they were basking in it. They were experiencing just the Spirit of God working in their heart. You don't need to have a whole bunch of passages, a whole bunch of chapters, just a few that you're meditating on and embracing in your life, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well, as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 17 with a message titled, Noble-Minded Believers.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we
came. 1 Peter 4:19, therefore those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Don't just take what they say, search the Scriptures and see if these things be so, because a lot of things that are being proclaimed as scriptural, which are not Scripture at all. Noble-minded Bereans. We need to be noble-minded, searching the Scriptures. I was that way because all around me, Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Baha'i, New Age, Transcendental Meditation, all that stuff, some were working for me, some were right there with me. They were saying all sorts of weird things about Jesus and the Bible. I had to dive in to find out what the Bible says. And that's what he's saying, be a Berean. Now, when he says noble-minded, the Greek term, which is an interesting term, it's eugenes, E-U-G-E-N-E-S, eugenes. And the term means a fine quality of mind and heart. It's a receptivity to find out the truth in what was being presented to them. You know, our news, people used to believe our news. Do you know 60% of people don't trust the news today? And it's no wonder. You know, it's hard to be trusted. We need to dive in and find out if what the news stories are saying are actually true. And that's true about the Bible as well. And these being noble-minded or fine in quality in their mind because they were looking into what was being said. Now that term, you might say it was hijacked. But that term, you might hear the term eugenics. Eugenics. Well, it was taken from what we find here in the Greek in 1883 by Sir Francis Galton. He was a respected British scholar and cousin of Charles Darwin. And he first used the term eugenics, meaning well-born. The science of improving the human population by controlled breeding to increase the occurrences of desirable genetic characteristics, a method of improving the human race. That's what the dog breeders do. But you see, that's what he came up with. And then, you probably know the rest of the story, it fell into disfavor only after the perversion of its doctrines by the Nazis. So it's not a good term nowadays. But you see, originally it was used for those that used their minds and they wanted to have a finer quality of life in what they believe in the Scripture. They just didn't want to believe anybody or anything that came along. You see, there is never any fear of the preacher or the church when the people dive into the Bible and dissect it line upon line, precept upon precept, if what they're being taught is true. A pastor, a church should have absolutely no fear of that. And I encourage you to do that here at Calvary Chapel. It's only the cults. It's only the false teachers that are threatened by people who use the Bible as a litmus test for what is being taught. Is this true or is it not? Let me look in the Bible and see. You see, it's only a threat to false teachers and cults. The Bereans, they did their homework. The Bereans, they did the spade work. They looked at it. They looked at the scriptures to see if what was they were being taught was so. And you know what? Many believed. Many believed because they just weren't. So many people I know come to church, they want to hear a sermon, go home, and that's it. Because they don't have that Berean attitude. They don't have that noble-mindedness. They just hear and they don't search out. There's something that's not, it's not quite clicking yet. There's not that hunger for the truth as much as there should be. And that's what we've been praying Saturday morning, revival, that revival come. But no, notice what it says in verse 11, they received. They checked it out and they received. And the idea there is with great eagerness. It's like with a passion, with a willing spirit. It's the idea of rushing forward. You know, sometimes when you have an altar call and a person is really touched, they just want to be the first there at the altar. They want to be the first to have the hand up because there's something God has touched their heart. They've been reading the Bible or they've been thinking about the Bible and the Holy Spirit is confirming what is being said and they rush forward. It's kind of like a child at Christmas. Watch the children at Christmas, wide-eyed, all excited. Well, that's what these Bereans were. They were rushing forward to the Word of God. The Word of God, that term is logos, the logos word. And when you use that term, it's the expression of intelligence inherent in the Word of God. An expression of intelligence within the Word of God. It's God's intelligence in the Word of God. You want to know God's mind and God's heart? Well, be a Berean. Search the Word of God. That's what it means. You get so fed up with falseness and phoniness in this world and the lies and the blind alleys you go down. You want to know the mind and the intelligence of God that is in the Word. And that's what they discovered. That's what they rushed forward to. And they were examining it. Again, it says in verse 11, or sifting it over and over and over. Continually sifting through it, separating it, separating line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, judging it. And the idea when you use examining is like in a courtroom, interrogating or cross-examining to see if it's true before your final verdict. That's what they're doing. It's a deep dive into the scripture. I know a lot of us, we take it for granted at first, but then we do the deep dive. If you've been a Christian for a number of years and you haven't read the Bible all the way through, let me encourage you. This Christmas, start it. You're December 1st. Go through the year. We put a calendar in the Bible so you can read it through in a year. You need to deep dive. Be a Berean. So important. And they believed or believing. It's giving credit to, you know, this is the mind and the heart of God. It's a mental persuasion and a confidence in the Word of God because they had it. They didn't have the whole of it, but they just had some of it. And they were basking in it. They were experiencing just the Spirit of God working in their heart. You don't need to have a whole bunch of passages, a whole bunch of chapters. Just a few that you're meditating on and embracing and encouraging in your life, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you. I love what Charles Spurgeon said, the Prince of Preachers, in the 19th, first part of 20th century. He said, I would rather lay my soul soaking in half a dozen verses all day than rinse my hand in several chapters. In other words, just kind of getting through those chapters and get on with life. No, just soak. Just soak in the Word of God. On your drive to work, if you're not listening to K-Lite, get that passage up there that you can read and just soak it in, you know, as you're driving. They used to have the daily, remember that little box, and it was like a bread box, and you'd open it up and have a scripture memorization? Those are great. I don't know if they still have them now, but those are great. You're just soaking in the Word. Well, he ends off here, verse 13, and we'll end at 15. But when the Jews, here it comes again, Thessalonica found out that the Word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea also, they came there as well, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul out to go as far as the sea, and Silas and Timothy remained there. Now, these who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they left. Then they left. Antagonist. Not satisfied with forcing their opinion, their agenda on their own city, amongst their own people, amongst their own peers, but now they have to travel to the next city and impose their bias, their opinion, their antagonism on the next city. Remember, it springs from jealousy. We mentioned that. And whenever a person is a jealous person, it acts out in hatred. Usually you'll find that jealous person when you hear them talk or they confront whatever they're confronting, there's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of anger that is stirred up in that jealous mind. Why? Usually jealousy is because that jealous person, they see in someone else that they don't see in themselves. They see happening that something that they're not doing or they're not able to do. And so hatred. And with that comes a blind rage. And I think Satan, remember, he's the god of this world. He's blinded the minds of unbelievers that they not come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I think in this blind rage, Satan is blinding them. They need to have those blinders pulled. But now notice, they're not going to let go, these jealous haters, these ones that are the antagonists against the gospel. They're not going to let go, but they feel they must take down. They must take down the gospel and the preaching of Christ. And really, that's what jealousy and blindness does. It hates the truth. It hates the truth, and it becomes obsessed with trying to shut down and turn away people from it. That's a sad, sad situation, to try to poison the minds of people so they don't have a critical kind of thinking, but they're predisposed not to believe. The Bible calls it a stumbling block, laying a stumbling block in front of someone else. Jesus said it's better for that person that's laying those stumbling blocks to have a millstone hung around their neck and thrown into the deepest part of the sea. In other words, Jesus is saying to try to hinder somebody from the gospel and from the truth is one of the worst things that you can do. And that's what they're doing. Notice Paul, this didn't just happen here now in Thessalonica and then in Berea, but it happened in Pisidian Antioch. It's either a revival or a riot or both. That's usually what happens. Revival takes place, a church is planted, but then a riot, you know, there's antagonists that drives Paul away. Or at least he's ushered away by those that are concerned for his life. It happened there in Pisidian Antioch. You can see it in chapter 13, verse 45. It happened in Iconium, chapter 14, verse 2. It happened in Lystra, chapter 14, verse 19. And then in Thessalonica, chapter 17, verse 5 on. And then in Berea, what we see here, five cities, Paul is run out of town because of the gospel. Is it any wonder that sometimes you get some bad vibes from people, or you get mocked, or, you know, certain things happen, and sometimes people are even attacked here in the U.S. for the gospel, but they're being put to death in other countries. So they feared, those Berean believers, they feared for Paul's life, so they shipped him off to Athens. And that's a whole study. Read ahead for Athens. And Silas and Timothy, they stayed behind to support the church that began there in Berea, to support the new work. I love Paul, that he trusted those that were with him. He trusted them with the responsibility of teaching and preaching and building up those new believers in the Lord, building them up in their most holy faith. It's so good to have faithful men and women in the church that will teach and build up the body of Christ. It's sad when there are those that you put your trust in, they violate that trust, you know, and they start, you know, talking about things and you have to take them out of that position. When I first went to Bible college at Twin Peaks, I was just a very young Christian. They had a teacher there. And as he was teaching, I thought, this guy is not speaking the very things that I've learned from Chuck. And he asked a certain question. I answered the question. I answered it right, properly. But then he contradicted my answer. And I was a young Christian, and I thought, well, this guy is endorsed by Chuck and Chuck's Bible college, so what am I to stand up for what I think it says? And in reality, I was right what I said. But I was just a young Christian and kind of shy and speaking up for myself. And then he went on and he taught other things. And I thought, boy, this guy. And I thought, well, maybe Chuck just has somebody and he's able to bring people on that are very liberal and teach things that Chuck doesn't believe. And it really threw me. It confused me. And when I mentioned it to someone, that guy was gone. He only taught for that class or that period of time, and then he was gone. Chuck just trusted the fella. He trusted the recommendation that he got. And you see, I don't want to lose that trust, and you don't want to lose that trust, but then you don't want those people that you put trust in to violate that. And so this fella violated it, and he was gone. It was, it was not a good situation. And so you find that here, they're left there. Timothy and Silas left there in Berea to encourage the church. And we find that Timothy, he would come later with a financial gift. He comes with a gift from the Philippians for Paul's need. As Paul is planting and his missions efforts, and they come and they help him out in his financial needs there. But notice Paul, he commanded them to come. I think that's interesting. That basically he doesn't say, hey, if you guys can make it, come. He says, no, I want you guys to come as soon as you can. That's basically a direct command. Come, guys. You see, one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. And Paul knew that. Paul recognized their strength in numbers. If you're going to go down to Waikiki and preach, go two by two. Jesus always sent them out two by two. Their strength in numbers, Paul recognized that. The need for companions in ministry, so important. Go on a mission trip. We'll take some brothers and sisters with you if you're going to go on that missions endeavor. You see, Paul was not a Lone Ranger believer. We kind of, in one sense, because he's talked about so much, we think he's kind of a loner. He wasn't. He wasn't that at all. He wasn't a man who was so independent that he didn't feel like he needed others to co-labor with him and bear his burdens in the ministry. He wasn't like that. He coveted prayers. He coveted those to come around him and support him and be with him. And it's so dangerous to go it alone. I know sometimes a lot of us are very independent. But I'm so glad that we have a circle of brothers and sisters around us that we can depend upon and look to and be a support. Now, for Paul, especially in pagan Athens, they said it's easier to find a false god, a false statue, and they represented their gods by their statues. It's easier to find a false statue than it is to find a man in Athens. because there were so many false gods in Athens. And so Paul, he's there in Athens. He's waiting. He's commanded them to come. He's waiting. We don't read anything about them coming, but we don't doubt they eventually did. We just don't read about it. So I imagine they did come. But let me just end off as we partake of communion this morning and beginning this December, the 1st of December. Let me encourage you to be a Berean, a noble-minded Christian. You know, as we're going through the book of Acts, I can encourage you to be one. And we've just talked about the church plant in Thessalonica. Encourage you to read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Paul's letter to them. It gives you a good idea about that church there. Now, in Athens, we're gonna learn a lot. But then he's going to go on to Corinthians or Corinth. And you could read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, that in your reading, as you're reading through the Bible with our daily calendar with you. But be one, make it a point to be in the Word on a daily basis. Maybe in the morning, maybe in the evening. I have these ribbons in my Bible for the Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, New Testament. So I love to keep up with all of those. But so important, because we're becoming a nation and a churches in America as being biblically illiterate. And Barna, in his study of the churches, he said that's exactly the case, that the church is biblically illiterate. We don't want to be that at all. Start today. Use the calendar that we have. Get into the Word. You see, God blesses His Word. He doesn't bless anything else. He blesses His Word, and He blesses His people who are in His Word and walk in His ways. So that's what we want to do. The Bible says in Psalm 119:9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to the Word of God. Good for the young men and women, but also good for the middle-aged men and women, and good for the old men and women as well. Keep our way according to the Word of God. And we can't know the Word of God unless we're studying and we're in the Word of God.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 17, titled Noble-Minded Believers. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 17. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.